The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.
Repeat after me. One world government is coming. One world government is coming. One world government is coming. The nation state is obsolete. One world government will improve the lives of everyone on Earth. This concludes today's indoctrination lesson for the betterment of all mankind. The Chad Olson Show thanks you for your cooperation. Goodbye.
Gold is the best investment of the century, growing over 500% since 2001. But right on cue, the pundits on Wall Street are again saying the gold rush is now over. Mind you, they said the same thing when gold prices topped 500 and 1,000. What the founding fathers referred to as the friends of paper money have been dead wrong on gold for a decade. Well, Swiss America has been right on the money. Why? Because we understand gold is real money. It's no longer just a commodity. And now 90 experts all agree gold is going much higher. Call Swiss America for their new report, Gold Rush is No Bubble. It's free. Call now toll free, 866-883-2714. That's 866-883-2714. In today's uncertain world, gold is a wealth preserver, period. Is gold in a bubble? Call toll free, 866-883-2714. 866-883-2714 for their new report, Gold Rush is No Bubble.
The Chad Olson Show. Chad Olson Show.
Last year, I was on 120 different radio interviews, and I've got to tell you that you're the best. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not flattering you. I want a promise from you that when you have your own national television show, that you don't forget AMAC and Dan Weber and you have us on.
The Chad Olson Show.
Chad Olson Show.
You're a patriot, but even... you're an intelligent patriot who can communicate, and that's so important.
The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
Find today's episode and previous editions of The Chad Olson Show in the podcast page at ChadOlsonShow.com. That's www.ChadOlsonShow.com. Log on now.
Chad Olson Show.
Chad Olson Show.
We all need to work together. This is not something this country has ever seen before. I understand Mark Carney referred to it as sedition today. I think that's exactly what it is. This is treason. This is way bigger. This is a group of well-polished, professional people that are trying to overthrow the government of democratically elected government of this country. This is not, it's not a target on the city of Ottawa. It's much bigger than that.
The Chad Olson Show.
Chad Olson Show.
Well, even as smarmy little blackface Justin Trudeau, the man of a thousand disguises, he is now hunkered down, presumably in his luxury doomsday bunker. Yeah, just in case idiot, incompetent puppet, and New World Order toady Joe Biden accidentally sets off World War IV with Vladimir Putin and Russia over trying to shoehorn Ukraine and their money laundering operation into the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Well, you know, Justin's already, he's already well protected because he's already underground hiding from middle class, working class individuals who have descended on the capital of the Canadian nation in order to plead their case and asking for redress of grievance, asking for a government to stop interfering with their right to earn a living, to stop interfering with their own medical procedure and what they do for their health in light of this COVID-19 bioweapon deployment, for the scuttling of the global economy, the rigging of the 2020 American election, and the institution of the footings and the foundations of the social credit score, world technocratic superstate that they're building before our very eyes. One of the last remaining defenses we have against that is the document of the United States Constitution. And so long as the courts, and just by way of breaking news, a judge has now ordered that the Canadian police, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, are to return all of the confiscated diesel fuel that they took from the truckers over the last couple of nights when they marched into the phalanx and the ranks of the idling big rigs and in some cases siphoned the saddle tanks on the 18-wheelers, depriving those people of the fuel that is literally keeping them warm in sub-zero temperatures in the nighttime when they try to get their rest for their protest activities and free speech during the day. So things are not going well for the Trudeau tyranny, even as we see the vaccine mandates and passports rolled back in both Alberta and Saskatchewan. That from Pierre Poilievre in that news we started or used to start the broadcast today. Our guest right here is Leah Southwell. Leah is a local coordinator for the John Birch Society. She works to educate and to motivate local patriots to get involved in the quote-unquote democratic process, little d democratic process, to get them to activate their lawmakers and put pressure and the application of political pain in some cases to get our lawmakers and legislators to do the will of the people who are their employers. Leah, it's shocking to me sometimes, not surprising, but I'm still stunned to the degree to which even the archetype of American government, which is that it's government of the people, by the people, even the idea that these people are employed by us, they have to do what we say, that's just completely evaporated in the modern era. Can you just briefly speak to that?
Sure. You were a homeschooler and I homeschooled my kids. And I think we all understand that this indoctrination begins all the way through our education system. And I will just tell you that at my age, my brother is 3 years older than I am. He's 63 and he still got civics lessons in high school. I'm 60. By the time I got into high school, they had eliminated it and replaced it with social studies. So this was intentional to rob us of our understanding of the proper role of government. And yeah, this is what you get after three decades of people not being educated the proper role of government.
Well, and that segues directly into what we're seeing now. I'm every day for me, and I think it is probably for you as well, a combination of both hope and sorrow in the hope, whatever hope we can place in the present awakening, the energizing we're seeing in portions of the electorate, the Loudoun County phenomenon, people, you know, parents finally getting up in arms about what's being taught in their local schools and coming to the realization and the knowledge that public education is about indoctrination, and it's about turning out these young pioneers of the Soviet Union who are going to be readily accepting and advancers of Marxist ideology. But then the sorrow is the realization that we should have been awake to this 50, 60 years ago, and maybe the time to be able to effectively counter it and do something about it is long past. You does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I'm with you on the hope and the sadness, but my deepest belief is the worse things get, the better things are going to get. The worse things get, the more people are finally getting uncomfortable, and only when they're uncomfortable are they willing to look at reality.
That's very well said, and there's that old saying, may their cruelty swell our ranks. And I guess, as you say, the worst things get, the more that they do to us, and we see this, you know, happening in the Canadian uprising as well, there's this very poignant piece of video where one of the truckers, the police are coming in and they're taking his jerry cans and taking his diesel fuel reserves, and he is praying over them, praying for the safety of their children and their families and for an enlightening moment for them to realize that what they're attacking is their own nation and their own freedom and liberty. And he's praying for them to be awakened, not just, you know, to that fact, but to be awakened spiritually, to be roused from their slumber and their blindness and their complicity in the violation of the freedoms of all Canadians. And you see moments like that and you realize there's so much of this that just comes down to divine providence and really a spiritual awakening. Beyond even the politics of it, there's so much in your background that we could spend time talking about. But we've neglected already for three quarters of an hour to get into the foundation of what it is that I wanted to talk about today, and that is your experiences in nations in South America, where these communist revolutions have happened at lightning speed and have transformed, you know, previously prosperous nations into just impoverished hell holes and you know, inescapable poverty and just the absolute collapse of society and civilization. We think of, you know, places like Venezuela, the nation of Chile, these places. And I know that you've spent time there. And so I just want you to first give us some background as to, you know, what you were doing, maybe in the nation of Chile, if that's where you want to start. Tell us what you were doing there and what it is that you you witnessed during your time there and the parallels between that and what we're experiencing now in the United States.
Yeah, I mentioned that I was a homeschool mom, and I call it my homeschool final exam for my kids. I told them all of their lives that they needed to have a foreign experience. I had lived for 10 years in the Netherlands or Holland and gotten that experience, very valuable to see the world. To see your own country from other people's perspectives was probably one of the most valuable experiences I ever had, and to see myself from a different perspective. So in 2012, my two sons, who were at that time 18 and 20, finally agreed that this was the time. It was a great time for us to have our international experience. So the agreement was they got to choose when, I got to choose where. I had spent years studying, if they ever said yes, where we would go. I wanted Spanish to be the language that we focused on, most useful here, at least in the United States. And I had done extensive research on all the Spanish-speaking countries in the world, and through years of study came to the conclusion that Chile was by far, head and above shoulders, the best country to go to. It was the most economically prosperous, very stable, and had a history of having chased out communism successfully in 1973. Some may remember two names, Pinochet and Allende. That's the battle that's still going on. Allende was the communist and Pinochet was the military who did participate in, if you want to call it a military coup. You could also look at it as the successful elimination of communism. So that was my reasoning for choosing Chile. My sons and I had been living there for 7 years when in 2019, October 18th, 2019, suddenly, overnight, the country erupted into massive destruction. They were attacking the public transportation system, all supposedly over a 4-cent increase in the price of the public transportation system. Within 8 days, there was a massive demonstration organized where they claimed there was 1 million people. I don't think quite that many. Nobody can ever put a number on it, but it was a whole lot of people. This was in the city of Santiago with a population of 7 million. And they came with every complaint that you could possibly imagine about their country. Now, be aware that I chose Chile because they were the 7th most economically free nation in the world, while the U.S. was in 14th position. So I came as an immigrant that did not speak Spanish, had enough money to survive for 5 months with two very young adult sons. We had no idea how we were going to support ourselves, and somehow we thrived and we survived as immigrants. And so I didn't understand much at all. Were there problems? Were there issues? Of course, like in every country. But the most deeply disturbing thing was on that 8th day at that massive protest, there were sudden calls and signs throughout the crowd, new constitution, a request for a new constitution. So the people were demanding the president step down because, of course, all the problems in the world and massive protests are the fault of the president always, right? And also that they wanted a new constitution. So the hair on the back of my neck went up, and I immediately began to interview as many people as I could, asking them, are you in favor of a new constitution? If they said yes, I said, what specifically is in your constitution that would be causing your problems? Their response was always, well, all of it, because it was written under a military dictatorship. I said, but what words, what clause, what article, what sentence is in your constitution that could possibly be causing your problems? And there was no response. And in the end, it was proven to me that none of these people who were promoting this had ever read their constitution. Because if they had, I had done the research. And when the military dictator Pinochet did voluntarily step down in 1989, the Congress went to work to eliminate anything and everything objectionable. And in 2005, not long ago, the current, that socialist president at that time and Congress all agreed that this would, they had eliminated everything objectionable out of that constitution. So how is it that a mere 14 years later, the people are demanding for a new constitution that will resolve all of the problems in their country? So the moment came for me when I knew I had to leave, when the president actually agreed to a people's referendum. So I had already done my own surveying, and in my surveying, 70% of the population would choose for a new constitution without having read it, without having been able to identify the cause of its problems. 70% were going to vote for this. So that was the day I told my son he could do whatever he wanted to do, but this was the death knell of a country, and the country would not survive it, and I didn't care to stand by and watch this slow death that would happen.
Well, and as you as you describe this, Leah, that the thing that just keeps, you know, flashing in my mind, the similarities, the similitude of the experience that you're describing, it sounds so much like the United States at this very moment. I mean, we're having conversations about things like quote unquote equity and systemic racism and critical race theory, although they're trying not to call it that, just as they rebranded global warming into climate change. That terminology has now become toxified, the Loudoun County effect and everything. But we see the way that these buzzwords, we're dealing with an intensely ignorant population that is so gullible about the assertions of the leftists who know very well what they're doing in miscasting our present situation and calling for exactly the same things in the rewriting of our foundational documents. And that, if for anybody who understands the parallels and how quickly the nation of Chile, or if Venezuela is more familiar, how quickly a society can descend from capitalism into cannibalism at the behest of these leftist revisions and remakes, this should just strike terror in the heart of every single responsible citizen.
Absolutely. And the terror that was brought into my heart was, in Chile, there are tens of thousands of Venezuelans living there, many of them my friends, because they too are immigrants. And so one of the things I did was immediately go to them and say, what do you think is going on here? And every single one of them said, we know exactly what's going on. This is exactly how it started in Venezuela. It was over a price increase in the bus system. And how did they take down Venezuela? Through changes to their constitution and through massive protests. But surprisingly enough, Shad, and this is what was most interesting, is most all of these Venezuelans said, but Leah, the interesting thing is we were the protesters. We were the ones who demanded this. We asked for this. We voted for Chavez. We fell for the trap. We wanted these changes to our constitution, and we created the death of our nation, and we can no longer return.
Well, and that's just an absolutely chilling account. It should be a watchword of warning to anybody who understands that history rhymes and repeats. And if we don't pay attention to it, we are doomed to repeat it as well. Yeah, it's a fascinating walk back through very recent history. A lot of people don't even realize how prosperous South American nations were. Argentina, Chile, Venezuela, all top-tier economies that have just been utterly destroyed by this infusion of leftism and the tilt toward the communist utopian system that's brought nothing but starvation to every single one of those nations. Leah Southwell is our guest. We'll continue this conversation and her first-person observation of how societies are subverted, how civilizations fall. We're watching it here in the United States, but recent examples show us what the end destination is, and it will be no different in the United States. I'll have her speak to that as we come back. Chad Olson Show, SOS Radio Network.
Chad Olson Show.
ago, it would have mattered. 5 years ago. The fact is, I think people want somebody now that's going to protect them and protect this country, because we're not going to be a great country for long if we keep going the way we're going right now.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.